Welcome back into Baltimore Sports and Beyond. I'm your host, Bobby Trossett. Of course, this is a special series that I've told you about, Beyond the Front Lines, and very, very much looking forward to getting this thing launched. As you heard the previous episode, if you haven't yet, the vice chairman of the Building for God Community Foundation, Tom Shannon, joined me to officially kind of introduce this special that we're putting on over the next few weeks, and who knows how long it'll go from here. But today, our debut guest of the official Beyond the Front Lines podcast, and aside from what we're usually doing, obviously with the sports world halted, we'll continue to follow as leagues get ready to return and whatnot. But today, we are going to highlight a local healthcare professional by the name of Ryan Hersey, and he joins me right now. He's a big BAL and 98 Rock guy, so it's perfect. But he's also, more importantly than that, a clinical nurse on the medical ICU at the University of Maryland Medical Center right here in Baltimore City. He's been on the front lines, and he joins us right now. Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Bobby. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate this series you're doing. I think it's an awesome idea with everything going on in the world right now. So thanks for having me on, man.
I appreciate that. And look, no pressure, but you're going to set the tone here for this debut episode. So we might as well just jump right into this. And, you know, when I think about the sports world as it pertains to the coronavirus, it halted really when Rudy Gobert tested positive and Donovan Mitchell in back-to-back days, they kind of halted the NBA. And from there, it was a trickle-down effect. What do you remember specifically about when your world specifically changed?
I think it kind of really, we started hearing a lot of the kind of the whispers from stuff up in New York. We have a lot of our physicians and care hospitals that we coordinate up with in New York, where they started first popping up some positive cases, and then you started hearing the trickles from kind of what China had been dealing with, and all of that information being flooded with us, and all this sort of gossip and this and that, where we really didn't know what was going to happen. And then kind of coming into work every day, it was just, you just didn't really know what to expect. And then all of a sudden you come in and they're handing you these PAPR hoods that basically function as respirator devices for you to go into these rooms and take care of these patients. So it pretty much came kind of out of nowhere in the middle of March. And then it took a lot of different discussions with like the people who are in charge of our hospital and our unit specifically to kind of figure out where these patients are going to go. And then for a while, we were really just kind of waiting. We weren't really getting the flush of patients that New York was getting, that Washington, Seattle, that everybody, these big hotspots in the United States were getting, until about the beginning to mid-April, where we were just absolutely slammed, especially from PG County to the Eastern Shore. We were getting patients helicoptered in from all over the state of Maryland, Delaware, West Virginia. So it got pretty crazy from there.
Ryan, how would you describe the way in which your day-to-day changed? I mean, you're a young professional who's experienced but relatively new to this industry and what you're getting into. So how did your day-to-day change? And specifically, could you have possibly been prepared for this, personally speaking?
I think, yeah. So in obviously not in general, like patient care, especially in the ICU specifically, because that's where I specialize in, is that you come in, you have one or two patients, critically sick individuals that you kind of have a basis for every single day when you come into work. And then now with how things have to function with completely, we basically created an airlock unit that is completely negative pressure that is accessed by a single door that you open, you walk in, you close behind you into an ante room where you then get all of your materials checked out to make sure that you're completely protected with your respirator device, your gown, gloves, whatever. And then you walk onto the unit through another door where it's completely negative pressure. And through that, you're caring for upwards of four patients that are in with patients double bunked in rooms that are supposed to be for just one patient, where you have a max of about 2.5 hours where you're allowed to be back in this airlock. And then you have to come out and flip flop with another ICU nurse who will go back and take care of this patient. And obviously these are critically sick patients that require a lot of 24/7 care. So in kind of this situation, it's what we call team nursing, like a team healthcare model, where you're caring for patients like along with other nurses and nurse practitioners, physicians, where you're all trading different times back in this hot zone, what we call, and kind of trying to figure out where different responsibilities can get done, mapping out your day, working alongside a bunch of other people, where usually it would just be you taking care of the patient, the two patients that you would have, and then along with the physician who's providing orders, they're directing that plan of care. But in terms of being prepared, I think, honestly, and I know this sounds cliche, but like the team aspect of what we're doing in the hospital now kind of directly correlates to kind of how like one would function on a team, like in sports, and having like played lacrosse in college and played sports my entire life. I think that in that sense, it really helps prepare me to, in terms of delegating and sharing responsibilities with other people, as you would share on an athletic field, you're now sharing in your professional life, which is a little bit different than you would have expected it to go. But I think that those experiences I've had kind of throughout my life in sports kind of helped to prepare me to like work with people, communicate with people, and kind of share responsibilities.
Yeah, Ryan, we'll definitely get into sports in just a minute here. Not only your fandom, but the athlete that you are as well, or former athlete. Let's hope you're not washed up, by the way. I do have to ask, you know, I have a couple friends in the area in the DMV who are also working on the front lines. And, you know, right out of the gate, they told me, look, you never celebrate an opportunity like this in terms of, you know, being put really thrust in the middle of a global pandemic. But in a way, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way, in a way, this is kind of like your Super Bowl, right? You guys, sports and the entire world has stopped in order for you guys to be thrust into your hero-like positions here and do what you do best. So has there been some kind of mindset that like, man, I was meant to do this. This is a great opportunity. And here we go. I'm not looking back.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And like you said, it does feel like it feels weird saying that in a sense, but especially with the people that I work with, we've talked about this multiple times. As much as we don't want to see patients in the hospital that like at the base of like what we do, a great day is you don't have that many sick patients, your patients that you're kind of watching as they're getting ready to go to different facilities or rehab or whatever. And that's kind of like that's enjoyable, but also when we can take a step back from this situation, kind of look at the experience that we're able to have. Like we've talked about this before I've talked about it with my family and friends. It's like, this is something that we'll be able to kind of discuss with my kids, like in the future, being like, yeah, like I was there. I was able to take care of some of these patients. I was able to utilize like the highest level of my skills that I've learned and developed through college and then through being trained, and doing kind of like what I think I do best, and is caring for some of these patients that really can't take care of themselves and are some of the most critically sick patients that you will find with this virus. So I think that's kind of one of the really cool things and like humble things that you can kind of hang your hat on in this situation, is that it's truly an experience that you would have never thought that you would have been able to have. Obviously you wish it wasn't happening. That's like you said, it's weird to say that, but it is in a sense kind of our Super Bowl and our way to kind of show that how we, all these skills that we've developed that might kind of aren't necessarily seen all the time, unless you've had a patient and a family member come into the hospital, and you can really see kind of what nurses, physicians, respiratory therapists, all these people really do, especially in a critical care setting where it is the top tier kind of that profession, in my opinion, that we're able to put all of our skills to the test. And then it's obviously a great feeling when this stuff pays off and you have patients get better and they're able to go to lower levels of care, and then like we get word from families when patients are home and they're being taken care of. So that's obviously the biggest enjoyment that I find throughout this whole experience.
Not only are you experiencing with those that are fighting this virus and hopefully tending to you're tending to them, but you also have your peers, right? Your fellow healthcare professionals. Have you leaned on each other throughout this, I imagine? You're spending a lot of time with each other. Don't you work 12-hour shifts?
Yeah. I've grown closer to the people that I work with in more ways than people can imagine throughout this whole process, because we truly rely on each other regardless of the coronavirus situation and all this stuff, regardless at work, if you have a situation you need someone's help with or advice or whatever. We're always leaning on each other, and that's kind of the best thing about especially the unit that I work on. I work with really great people, but especially now where you truly rely on those individuals to, when you walk out of that airlock situation and then you have one of your coworkers going in there that you know that you trust them, that they're going to get do the responsibilities that they have to do when they go in there. And then, because we work with people from all, like I'm 24 years old, and I graduated college two years ago. I'm like a young guy. I work with people who have four or five kids and like are married and drive an hour and a half to work or live like 5 minutes away from the hospital or live with their parents who are older or live with all their kids and have now had to send their kids to live with their grandparents when they're quarantining by themselves. Like it's just, it's a lot of really different, diverse situations that everybody comes from, but it's kind of unifying in a way when you walk into work, you all know that everybody's dealing with something at home. Everybody has situations that's going on at home, but when you're there, you trust one another to kind of do the responsibilities that you have to do. And you can kind of talk to those people and give frustrations on those people because they know exactly what you're talking about, which can be kind of hard to give to kind of family and loved ones at home who don't really relate to it to a T as because they're not really directly involved in that experience. So I think that's kind of the best point with that.
Ryan, I mentioned there was going to be a surprise kick to this episode, and I feel like now is a good time to do so. In partnership with the Building for God Community Foundation and my relationship with their vice chairman, Tom Shannon, based out of Towson, we are very, very happy and pleased to tell you that you and up to 50 of your peers that you're highlighting right now, we're going to donate 50 meals to each one of you so you guys can have a little bit of time to just, this is our nod to you guys because we're so appreciative of you, and this will be coming at a later date. It'll be at your convenience, and we're really looking forward to it.
That's so awesome. You guys are gonna make us fat, man. We're gonna be needing these gyms to open up as soon as possible once all this stuff is over. That's incredible, honestly. Thank you so much for that, Bobby, and for all the connections that you brought towards that. That's really, really awesome.
No doubt, man. It's our, this is something. This is the least that we could do. And again, this is Tom Shannon's. To tell you how it happened was probably a couple weeks ago now. I just did a little social experiment online and asked for. And I said, it'd be great to just highlight, honor, feature one healthcare professional a week on my podcast. And I asked for people to nominate someone or nominate yourself. And overnight, it was just an overwhelming response, so much so that Tom Shannon, that I mentioned, gave me a buzz and said, hey, we're partnering with some local restaurants. Feed the Frontlines, by the way, if you're out there listening, a little plug here, you can go to buildingforgod.org/feedthefrontlines, and Tom and his team have been doing great work. Ryan, you're just going to become the latest to benefit from this, but they have been feeding the Frontlines for these last couple months, and doing a great job at that. And by donating as little as $10, individual meals will be made by our five participating restaurants and delivered to those on the front lines. 100% of your donation goes to the Feed the Front Lines fund here. So, Ryan, you're going to get with Tom here at a later date, and can't wait to help deliver those. I'm definitely going to be making the trip, and congratulations again.
Thank you so much. That's so awesome, man.
All right, now we can't get you out of here before talking about what the main component that made you eligible for this, and that is your Baltimore sports fandom. So I know you played lacrosse at Georgetown. We can get into that in just a minute. Devastated, obviously, that there was no season, there were a few games, I believe, they played, but it's unfortunate that they weren't able to do their annual Final Four up in the Northeast. But talk to me a little bit about your Baltimore fandom.
I consistently compete with my friends that we think we are the biggest Baltimore Ravens fans that you could possibly imagine. But no, I've been a Ravens fan for, oh my God, pretty much my entire life. That came down from my parents to when they had come to Baltimore and started living here and lived the 2000 Super Bowl, the 2013-2014 Super Bowl, all that stuff, which I didn't really get to live the early days back in the 2000s, but oh my God, I could tell you every single person on the roster right now what's going on. I'm so juiced up for everything kind of Ravens related, and I'm not worried, but I'm really hoping that at some point with all this stuff gets figured out that we can get fans back at games later today, because I think I'm so fired up for the Ravens season coming up this fall, especially with how things ended last season, that I still can't even can't even listen to the name Tennessee Titans, I'll tell you that.
That is spoken like a true Baltimorean right there. I love it. I don't love the outcome, obviously, but hey, you hit the nail on the head. You know, it's been a tremendous offseason. We're taping this not too long after Eric DaCosta was named the Sporting News NFL Executive of the Year. Matthew Judon signed his franchise tender, so that locks him in for this coming fall, which is huge for the defense. Calais Campbell, Derek Wolfe, a couple huge additions. And we'll see what the draft did, too. I know a lot of people are high, even though there was a head-scratcher from a lot of fans in the second-round pick in J.K. Dobbins. He just further bolsters that running back room, which is already strong. We saw that last year. And as you allude to, Ryan, you know, the big question becomes, you know, will there be a season? And assuming that there will be a season, will the Ravens flock be allowed inside the bank? And that question remains unanswered right now. And, you know, personally, I'm just waiting to see what goes down with training camp, because about 2 months from now is when we're supposed to be out there in Owings Mills pretty much every day taking a look at the new look 2020 Ravens. And I think right now that is in jeopardy of starting on time. Now, you'd hope that if it does start on time, maybe they just close it down to fans and media. But all this is up in the air, man. I feel like you might be the guy, though, that could predict something, being that you're all over this. This is your daily, this is your bread and butter here. You got a prediction out there?
Oh, man. So many people ask, well, oh, like, how's it going? What's going on with this? When are things going to open up? The truth is we don't know anything more than what we're told and what we see and what that is. But, I mean, like you said, like, in my opinion, my personal opinion, from what I've seen, the experiences that I've had, that people I've talked to, whatever, I see us with an availability of tests for players, faculty members, coaches, everybody, that training camps will hopefully be able to happen in a very secluded, like almost like additionally quarantined environment where all these players are tested. They're quarantined to the castle in Owings Mills or hotels nearby, wherever they're staying. Away from family, friends, other people, and if everybody tests negative, that training camp can continue to go on and things will be okay. So I think, in my opinion, I think everything depends on tests. Obviously, there was a huge issue with that in the beginning when all this started, was the availability of tests, the efficiency of tests and stuff like that. But I think with tests hopefully becoming more and more available, that hopefully a lot of this stuff can be able to occur with the availability of this stuff. Cause I don't know, but it makes me uneasy without a full training camp. Cause I know we got some young guys, we got some guys we're trying to work out the kinks with, especially some wide receivers and stuff like that. So it makes me uneasy if Lamar's not going to be throwing to these guys all the time, but we'll see what happens.
All right, you heard it here first. We won't pigeonhole you to anything, but I do like that prediction. That leaves us with some optimism and some positivity looking forward. But hey, there's nothing you've left nothing unanswered here in terms of your fandom and obviously your commitment to the cause, which is you know, what we've all been facing in some ways. If you haven't been directly impacted by it, somebody you know probably has. It's really been. You hear the adjectives thrown around all the time, right? It's been an unprecedented last couple months. But, hey, for everybody on behalf of WBAL and 98 Rock, and really for Baltimore sports, that is, I just want to congratulate you, Ryan, for being this debut episode, being the subject of it. And, of course, you know, on behalf of your line of work, the ICU. At the University of Maryland Medical Center. We're going to get with you. Tom Shannon's going to be reaching out soon. We're going to get those meals in you, hopefully keep you lean, and we'll be good to go. So, again, man, I just want to give you the floor. Anything that you want to say, any message that you want to put across, you have that time before we sign off.
I really appreciate you taking a step away from, obviously, some of the stuff I know with the content-driven world, with sports being out, but you trying to find an avenue to honor some people where, I mean, obviously, like you said, I mean, I think you described it really well. Like, this whole situation is our Super Bowl in a sense with healthcare providers. So I think there's tons of people, a lot smarter people out there than me that hopefully you'll be able to get to talk to too. But thank you so much for allowing me the space to kind of to do this and honoring us with the meals and stuff like that. And I guess trying to keep me lean and fat so I'm ready to go for the summer, be able to burn off all this stuff when hopefully you can take a little vacation once this stuff is over and get ready for a Ravens football season. So thanks, Bobby, so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Ryan Hersey, everybody. We appreciate you, man.
You've been listening to the Baltimore Sports and Beyond podcast on WBAL News Radio 1090 and FM 101.5.